Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
What's going on, Mike? We starting at 7:30.
What's going on, everybody? It's coming at you with a hot new episode of CMT Firestorm. We had a lot going on in football this past week. A lot of shakings and movings and rumors and whatnot. So we're ready to get things on and cracking today. I'm joined with you with Big Mike, Chi-Town Mike, coming at us for the Windy City. What's going on, Chi-Town?
What's going on, Kelly Mike?
All right.
How you chilling?
Gonna get things on and cracking. Anybody wants to call in, number is 347-237-5539. Like I said, we're gonna talk about any and everything football, and you know how we do. We usually get, you know, ad lib, you know, folks can't stay on subject, so we kind of get off subject with stuff every now and then. I want to get to some current news that's been going on in the NFL. A couple of things have happened since we were last on the air. First thing, Chris Johnson is apparently going to be signing with the New York Jets. I think Johnson, you know, he's not the feature back that he used to be, but I think he can still be highly serviceable. You know, he has speed. He came off an injury, but you know, I think that he still might be able to do them some service. I don't know how good the Jets are going to be anyway. You know, their defense is good, but it's all about that offense, you know, murky quarterback situation, even murkier wide receiver situation. So it's going to, you know, the jury's kind of going to be out on that. Mike, what do you think about that Chris Johnson signing?
It was rumors about him going to the Jets. I can kind of help the Jets out. He got, you know, a new change of place. He got a lot to prove, you know, for a second chance because, you know, he kind of, after he got that contract, you know, he kind of tallied off. And Tennessee, I mean, hey, maybe it was, you know, just a change of pace, you know, going to New York, you know, paired with Marty Morningway, you know, maybe they got something for him.
What do you think about the Jets altogether? I mean, do you think that they're a team? I mean, do you think a player like, you know, they added Vic, you know, now they added Chris Johnson. Do you think this could maybe kind of get them over the hump into making them a maybe second tier team, maybe one of them, you know, wild card playoff type teams?
See, the main thing the Jets got the question is with the quarterback, you know, how that's going to play out. I think that's a bigger question. We all know what their defense, you know, is, how they showed last year without Revis. They had a – it was one of the top defenses in the NFL. In my opinion, you know, it's early. You know, I'm going to say this, you know, he may be biased, you know, but, hey, who cares on this one? But I think Michael Vick is probably their best chance at quarterback. But we all know Michael Vick, you know, hasn't stayed healthy for a 16-game season, and the next behind is Geno Smith. So I think it comes down to that, you know, the quarterback play and also, too, receivers. Maybe they'll take care and address some of that in the draft since it is a deep receiver draft, which, you know, they, you know, released Antonio Holmes, which I thought was a good move. He was overpaid. He never planned out with the Jets, you know, and just – They got questions in that passing attack, but I think getting Michael Vick, I think, you know, so far is a good start. And then Chris Johnson, which you know, we all know about competition in the NFL, is they probably gonna draft a running back as well, which I think they should, you know, add some competition.
Do you think that maybe they might do if they do draft a running back, they might split it? I mean, do you think Chris Johnson can still be a feature running back?
That's a good question, Charlie Mike. I mean, Chris Johnson, I mean, how old is he? I think Chris Johnson's about, maybe 27, 28 years old, right?
He's about 26, 27.
I mean, he's still got some years in him, so... That's a good question, Cali Mike. I think, you know,
He's actually 28. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay, I'm looking at it now. He's 28 years old.
That's a good question. If he gets it, I mean, coming to camp with a chip on his shoulder, which I know he probably will, he should, with how, you know, I mean, how Tennessee, you know, they let him go, it's on him. Now, you know, saying he got his money, is he, you know, the question is, he, you know, does he want to take it, you know, not, or is he complacent? It's really on him. I'm kind of, it's kind of one of those things, like, because he still got some years on him. He still, I think, got a good couple more years in him, you know, to do it. So,
He's actually 28. He's actually going to be turning 29 right about the time of the season, beginning of this season. I didn't know that. He's actually the same age as AP. Well, he was drafted a year later than AP, but he's the same age as AP Peterson. So, you know, I don't know. I got to, like I said, I think it's a definite upgrade. I mean, the Jets have not had a running back basically since who, Curtis Martin was there? Or no, they had a, what's your boy that went to the, he went to the Bears too.
I know you're talking about. Yeah, they did get.
Was it Jones? Jones.
Yeah, Thomas Jones. He was good for them, and then they had got the other guy for. Yeah, Jones. I'm trying to think that guy they had from Maryland. I can't think of his name. I forgot. But yeah, Thomas Jones was good for him. Lamar Jordan.
Lamar Jordan wasn't good though. That cat, I wouldn't consider him. I'm talking about good running backs. I think maybe Thomas, you know. I mean, and in Chris Johnson's defense, you know, he has rushed.
Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking about his college days. I'm thinking about a big name because they did give. Yeah, you're right.
I was thinking about the boy
from Maryland.
He was good. And kind of remember we used to argue about him when we was in school with them cats from D.C., but he didn't do squat in the league. I think the Raiders even had him for a little while. He didn't do squat, so. But, in Johnson's defense, he did run for, he has ran for over 1,000 yards every season he's been in the NFL. So, you know.
He did have that 2,000-yard season, too.
Yeah, that was about 5 years ago.
Can you hear me?
Can you
guys hear me?
Hey, Clausel, I see Clausel going.
Clausel, Matt, that's on there. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? Y'all can hear me clearly?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah.
A little bit of reverb, though. But right now we're talking about Chris Johnson signing with the Jets.
I think that's a good sign. You know, I think he fits. I think the Jets fit his personality. You know, well, even though we don't really know who this guy is, he doesn't really talk much. But I just have this vibe that, you know, he's a Jet. He kind of fits the Jets mold. You know, I don't know what other teams were interested in him. I'm not sure.
I mean,
the Jets
were
only one, but
I mean, it's you gotta look at his. He's 20. You know, he's 28. He's turning 29. He's averaged 1,000 yards a season, but he's had a lot of carries on his legs, you know, and that's one thing I look at.
He pretty much was Tennessee's offense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he played on the offense where, you know, he was the focal point, you know. And, I mean, like, you know, he's got the explosive, you know, he's an explosive guy where if you get some, you know, if you get some holes open for him, he could, you know, he could break, you know. He could potentially break anytime he touches the ball. You know, he's one of them type of guys. But, you know, is he, you know, I don't know if he's moving to a better offense. You know, the Jets, you know, like I said, they're going to have quarterback issues. I don't know who's going to start, Vic or Smith. Their wide receiver, you know, is murky. They're probably going to have to draft at least two wide receivers. You know, and Mike even, you know, might have to even draft a backup running back. So, you know, like I say, it could work. You know, we were saying the Jets really haven't had a running back down there
since
Curtis Martin. You know, so you know it definitely could work. What do you think about the Jets quarterback situation, Clauso? Do you think it's going to be Vic or Smith?
I think it's going to be Smith.
Huh.
I mean, I don't know why cats are like down on this dude. I mean, he ain't that bad. I mean, goodness gracious. Well, he made mistakes. He's a rookie. I mean, you guys expected this guy to be like RG3 or Andrew Luck their first year. I mean, give the guy some time to develop. I mean, if he chokes it up this year, put Michael Vick in there. But I think Geno's going to be the guy this year, and I think that he's going to be better than the Patriots. But
of course not.
Yeah, so I mean, just give this guy his time, man, to make his mistakes. And if he makes his mistakes, you can get rid of him.
I'm looking at the Jets from last year. He did the best thing I can say is that he threw for over 3,000 yards. His completion percentage was only 55%, and he threw 21 touchdowns. I mean, threw 21 interceptions as opposed to 12 touchdowns, and that's for he had a quarterback rating of 66, which is pretty bad. But you know, I mean, I guess you know, I don't know if he start from day one. Was he a part time starter?
No, he started from day one.
He used to start it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's
beat out Mark Sanchez.
No, he didn't beat him out.
Yeah,
Sanchez got hurt.
Injury, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, I was gonna at least get the way they did get hurt though,
it's kind of showing that Geno was gonna be the guy though. Because why would you put Mark Sanchez in the third preseason game in the fourth quarter with third four stringers and tore his shoulder up? You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, I posted an article on the CMT Firestorm webpage. I don't know if you guys saw it about a couple of different draft guys were saying that E.J. Manuel would have been like some guys even said he would have been like the eighth quarterback picked, you know, if you could redo this season's quarterbacks and last season's quarterbacks. They're saying he would have been like the eighth quarterback picked. What do you guys think about that?
No, that ain't true, man. He would have been in the top five at least.
Five QBs?
He would have been in the top five. He would have been in the top five.
I mean, do you think he was like a safe pick, though? I mean, like I said, you know, we've all had different opinions about these quarterbacks coming out. To me, like I say, I look at guys, like I said, I think you're going to get value out of guys like Zach Mettenberger. You know, we got the thing, you know, a career backup. You know, we had the little argument last week. But, you know, I think Mettenberger, Aaron Murray, I think those dudes can play, man. I mean, I've seen them play, you know. And it's, you know, like I said, I've seen them do things I have not seen from E.J. Manuel, you know, in college at least, you know. And like I said, I still think I know y'all gonna give me this crap because he's an SC guy. I still think Matt Barkley is gonna be able to play in the league somewhere. You know, I just think that, you know, I've seen them do, you know, him, Murray, and Mettenberger, you know, I've seen them do things in college that, you know, some of these other quarterbacks, the throws weren't there, and, you know, they had just as good as, maybe even better than wide receivers. So, you know, I'm, like I said, my opinion, you know, it's just, you know, I think it's just really, when you get your quarterback, it's a matter of getting put on the right team. I mean, you look at Barkley, you know, he got brought in, you know, behind Vic and Foles, and, you know, now Vic's gone, but, you know, now they brought in Mark Sanchez, so, you know, who knows, he might, you know, end up buried for a couple of seasons unless, you know, injuries happen or, you know, he gets a trade.
Who you talking about, Mark Sanchez on Cali Mike?
No, Matt Barkley.
Oh, yeah, Barkley, because Sanchez going to be the backup.
No, like you said with
Jim. And
even though, you know, what you said with Geno Smith, you know, he's in New York. You know, he started for a season. Now you're going to bring in Vic, who a lot of people are going to want to start over him, especially if Smith, you know how this clause is. If Smith stumbles coming out the gate, folks are going to be calling for Vic immediately. You know?
Exactly.
And, you know, it seems like maybe they're not giving these young guys enough time. I mean, even though I know you're not a big Mike Glennon fan, you got to admit, it's kind of
wrong.
No, I'm not. But you got to admit, it's wrong for dude to come in and say, "Oh boy, is going to be the starting quarterback like that." Because Glennon was not bad. Glennon was not bad last year. To me, he was better than Smith last year.
No, he wasn't. But I'm saying, if you're talking about a guy that can just dink and dunk, you talking about a guy that just dink and dunk like Glennon did?
No,
man.
I said he had a better season than Smith last year.
I don't think so, because when the game's on the line, Geno Smith has shown that he can lead his team to a victory. Now, I mean, during the game, he may look like a bunch of crap, but when the game's on the line, he can lead his team to a victory. He did that several times last year. Mike Glennon, when the game's on the line, he folds, and that happened consistently last year.
Mike Glennon had wins last year, too. They beat Miami, Atlanta.
Yeah, when they were already winning the dang on game. I'm talking about when he was down against Arizona, when he was up against Seattle and Seattle came back. I mean, there was several situations where when you needed him to make a drive, he couldn't make a drive. That's why
I'm not going to Mike Glennon
in the future.
I'm looking at this dude's schedule. Look at the teams he played for a rookie, though. Arizona, Philly, Carolina,
a horrible defense.
Seattle, you know, San Francisco. New Orleans. I mean, you know, he had a pretty tough rookie schedule, man.
If you want to give him that. I mean, but still, even with that, man, you can still show signs when the game's on the line you can deliver. He didn't do that.
He was not a bad quarterback, though. He wasn't bad.
Well, I'll just say.
He was just a rookie, too, so you can't really say that either, though.
So then, even if you're a rookie, you can still show signs of, you know, when your team's in crunch situation, you can lead your team to victory. Josh Freeman did it. Vince Young did it.
McGlennon wasn't a first round pick either, so you got to kind of, you know.
Yeah, so I was just saying, and you know my three principles of a quarterback. Can he make all the throws? Is he accurate? And when the game's on the line, can he deliver? And Mike Glennon, when the game's on the line, he can't deliver. Now, Geno Smith,
I don't know if I
is
mean,
he accurate?
Like I said, they're rookies, man. So
as a rookie, you can show that. Even as a rookie, you can show that.
I mean, did Geno Smith really show that?
Yes, he did last year. Yes, he did. He did it from the first game of the season. He did that.
He did that one game against the Falcons, and that was probably the only Jets game you watched all season.
That's not true. I watched the game against the Falcons. I don't know what you're talking about. So a Monday night game. So. I mean, the guy has talent, man. The guy's not the worst quarterback in the world. I mean, I heard an exec say he was the Black Ryan Leaf, and that was insane for someone to say that. I'm not saying that he's going to be an all-star in this league. I'm not saying he's going to be a pro bowler in this league or an all-pro. But, I mean, just give the guy a chance to make his mistakes. If he makes his mistakes, you can kick him out, you know? I'm not 100% sold on Geno Smith. I'm not 100% sold on Geno.
The one thing that I wasn't sold on Smith was because in college, you know, he played with Tavon Austin and the other guy, you know, and those are both, you know, Tavon went in the first round, other dude went in the second round, you know.
And, well, he got the ball to him.
Huh?
He was able to deliver the ball to him. He was able to deliver the ball to him.
But against those defenses, though, I mean, you know, when you're playing in that Big East or whatever they were playing in back then, you know.
Yeah.
The competition wasn't the best. I mean, like I said, he was making the throws, but it just, you know, like I said, we analyze the games. You know, when you're playing against a pass rush like Baylor and you got 5 minutes to stand back there and throw the ball and you got Tavon Austin running circles around guys, he's eventually going to break loose and, you know, and ride out for, you know, 80 yards. So, I mean, I can't, you know, like I said, that was my only knock against him. Everything else, you know, yeah, he stood, you know, that and it was too many RG3 comparisons, you know, but other than that, you know, like I said,
why that's the case. Well, we know why he's compared to RG3. Hey, come on now. We know that. So, I mean, and really, RG3, the reason you see RG3 is because of Cam Newton. Because Cam Newton had that success, that bridged that opened the door for RG3, you know, to be a top five pick, you know. And then which thus opened the door for Geno Smith. Well, I wouldn't say it opened the door for Geno Smith. It didn't, because Geno was second round and EJ was first round. But anyway, I don't want to go off of the tangent on that anyway. But just give the guys a chance, man. You know what I mean? Let him make his mistakes.
I agree. You know, it'll be something we can monitor. You know, this coming up season and
also,
see how it goes. What'd you say, Mike?
Also, I'm not really sold on Geno Smith with the Jets, how their offense is, man, because I really thought that the Jets really didn't help Mark Sanchez. You see how Mark Sanchez did. We all know, I mean, Mark Sanchez did got the Jets, you know, was a quarterback of two AFC championship games, and he did win the Rose Bowl in his 1 year at USC. So he showed he can win, but the Jets really didn't give him what he needed to build around that. Even Joe Namath was talking about that. He thought that they did a Tim Tebow thing, like Sanchez is not that bad. Just build some weapons around him, you know, and I kind of see the same thing looking at with Geno Smith. I mean, we'll see. But right now, that's if they season start right now. It's the same situation. Yeah, he did better at running back. You know, Johnson, I think, is better, but they don't have no receivers. So
let's see what they do, you know, with this draft. I mean, this draft is going to mean, you know, it's going to mean a lot. I mean, like I said, to me, they should have went after DeSean Jackson. I don't know if they did or not, but, you know, that would have been a guy that, you know, that could have came in and played. But, you know, let's see what they do with these picks, you know, because this is going to kind of show us where the Jets are going to want to be going. You know what I mean?
I don't know. The Jets are kind of like the Oakland Raiders old school East, man. Like the 70, I mean, these guys got like the coach has a personality. You know, you put Michael Vick in there. You know, I mean, I don't think Deshaun needs that, man. I kind of like what
he's
doing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I
think go in D.C., you know, you don't want to deal with the Jets, man.
You're right. Yeah,
unless you have some solid, unless you got to, I mean, if you have a bunch of bad guys, you got to have at least a good guy there to sort of, a good guy that's a good player, you know what I mean, to kind of neutralize all that bad stuff going on up there. So I think you had that situation in Washington. I don't think you had that situation in New York, you know.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I want Deshaun to do well with his career, man. I want him to do well. So, you know, I think RG3 will help him out with that.
Yeah. Another big signing, well, not a big signing in New York, but looks like your favorite team, the New York Giants, have signed your favorite quarterback. Josh Freeman.
Yeah, sure did.
I sent him a message. I sent him a message just now, and hopefully he's listening. I just sent him. I'm friends with him on Facebook. He was on Facebook. I don't know if it was him or not, but I sent him a message saying that, you know, we're talking about it. We're about to talk about this right now, so hopefully Josh Freeman could be listening to us right now. But I doubt it, but he could be. But
what do you think about that?
Well, if you are Josh, you can call in 347-237-5539, and this will not be sent to the media. But anyway, what do I think about this? I think this is a good decision by the Giants. I think that there are sources that are saying that Eli Manning is more hurt than people think he is.
I've heard that, too.
There's a lot of sources that are saying that. So
maybe you listen to it from me. I've heard some sources say that he might be done.
What?
Like his career? He might be done for like the year?
I've heard. Maybe. I just heard that he might be done. I don't, you know.
He may be. So.
The ankle,
if he's going to be hurt, then, I mean, I think Josh Freeman, this will be good for Josh Freeman. I mean, I don't know. Him and Tom Coughlin, and we know how Tom Coughlin can be. But, you know, Tiki Barber didn't like Tom Coughlin, but Tiki Barber was a pretty good player under Tom Coughlin. So even though he can be an a-hole at times, I think he will help Josh Freeman and, you know, resurrect his career. So I think from a talent perspective, Josh Freeman is more talented than Eli Manning. So I think that, you know, hopefully if Josh Freeman can take advantage of the situation, I think this will resurrect his career.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has the personality. I think he has the personality and the discipline and the dedication to deal with a Tom Coughlin.
Well, let's say that Eli is hurt and Josh Freeman could come in. Does he have the personality that you think that could withstand being a quarterback in New York City? I mean, he really didn't, you know, he really couldn't take it that well in Tampa.
Well, no, because the Giants, the Giants are a different type of franchise. They're more family oriented. They're more.
Well, I mean,
you know,
I understand the front, but I'm saying just in New York in general. You know, you're in the biggest media market in the world. Everything you do and say is.
I don't think that the Giants are the biggest ticket in the show in New York. I mean, unless something crazy happens, like even when they were winning their Super Bowls, I don't think the Giants were, like, the biggest thing going on in New York City. I mean, I think the Jets are more New York Times kind of a team. You know, people follow the Jets more than they follow the Giants. So him being on the Giants helps out with the New York media, because I think the media really didn't really care about the Giants, even when they were winning their Super Bowls. I think they're more about the Yankees, they're more about the Mets, they're more about the Jets. You know,
of course, the Knicks.
You know, I mean, when the New York media, I mean, if you think about the New York media, they don't really talk that much about the Giants. They always talk about the Knicks, the Jets, the Yankees, and the Mets. You know,
yeah.
Because the type of has to do with the type of organization that the Giants have. You know,
yeah.
they're in New York, but they're kind of like wholesome. They do the right thing type of organization. So, you know, that's not something that the media likes. So
that is true. That is true. I'm just one of the things I'm just gonna have to we'll have to monitor, you know, see how it goes. I mean, who knows? You know, he could do good there. Like, you know, really hope he does. I mean, he's a guy who has all the tools. I don't know what all happened in Oakland, you know, or he was supposed to come in. You know, I mean, I really don't know. You know, I mean, he got bounced out of Minnesota, you know, so, I mean.
He didn't get bounced out of Minnesota. He just wasn't re-signed. What are you talking about?
Well, when you bring in a guy for a season to start over, I can't even think of his name, whoever their quarterback is out there, and you don't re-sign.
Christian Ponder?
Yeah, Christian
Ponder and Matt Castle.
Yeah, that means you're bounced.
Yeah, they re-signed Matt Castle.
No, I mean, like, he didn't know the offense. I mean, he came in there and they wanted him to start immediately, and he didn't take advantage of the situation because he wasn't prepared for it. So,
well, I mean,
Claudio,
he said before, you know, there is a difference between not knowing the offense and throwing picks and stuff like that. So, I mean,
he didn't know the offense. Hold on, he wasn't prepared. You can at least admit that he wasn't prepared. He only had one.
I mean, he wasn't, but I mean, what? I don't know. Dude's talented. I'll give him that. He's talented, but you know, I mean, I don't know. I just
he's only 24, and he's only 25 years old. So I mean, Eli's 32 years old. So I think that, you know, I have a feeling that Josh Freeman might be starting in the future for the Giants. I have this feeling, and I think he would take advantage of that situation under Tom Coughlin.
Also, too, since we're talking about it again about the Giants, they did change offensive coordinators. You know, Gilbride is out, I guess, retired. Because I guess they want to put him the blame of saying how Eli Manning had his one of his worst numbers last year. But, shoot, I mean, if Eli is supposed to be all that, then you can't put all the blame on the offensive coordinator. But we all know it has to be a fall person.
Yeah.
Like Clausel, who's you all's new offensive coordinator?
I don't know.
Which does not bode well for the Giants nation.
As long as we have Coughlin, we're good. Even though he's a jerk, an a-hole, he's a pretty good coach. I have to give him that. He's a good coach. So
he kind of calmed it down though. After the second Super Bowl. I mean, really, the first one he kind of calmed down, and second one, yeah. I mean, he ain't as bad when we first got there though. Won you two Super Bowls, something's clicking.
Let me bring up another subject. It's kind of off the wall here. I'm just looking at some headlines. Chad Johnson has apparently joined the Montreal Alouettes of the CFL for their mini camp. What do you guys think about this? Do you think Chad kind of got a raw deal when he tried to rejoin the league? Do you think maybe this dude could still play?
No, this dude can't play no more.
Like Chase said, once the knees go out and he lost that quickness, he's done. So, yeah, he's done.
Yeah, he's done, man. He should just play just for the love of the game, man. I mean, he ain't going to the Hall of Fame. His biggest mistake was he was just trying to be a sideshow and be liked. You know, and at the end of the day, you should know that, you know, that people they ain't going to like you regardless. If you're a nice guy, you're a bad guy.
He tried to marry a hair hat, which is the worst thing you can do.
Exactly. You know, and that messed him up right there. Another
definite hair. He married, if you think about it, he tried to marry, were they married? I thought it was a real hair.
Yeah, that was married, man.
That's a real hair.
Well, either way, he got together with the definition of a hair-hatted hooligan. when you look up hooligan in the dictionary on Wikipedia, it shows a video of her running across that table, and then it shows a video of her pregnant at whatever she is, 40 or something, by another dude.
Exactly,
so.
and that's what these players. I mean, don't give it a twist now. She is fine for her age, but with that fineness comes a mouth. It comes a mouth with it, you know, and you know, when you have to deal with that mouth on certain situations, you can't handle that. You know, you can't have that around you. So,
yeah.
I mean, hopefully this is a learning experience for Chad, man. I mean, you know, when you want to get somebody,
ask you guys
gotta
a question about this. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it for the end of our show. You know how we kind of freestyle at the end of our show, but I got an important question I want to ask you guys about that type of situation. But let me, I want to bring up another subject here. I'm looking at It appears your boy, Rolando McClain, failed in his workout with the Baltimore Ravens. From what I'm reading here, he didn't even finish the team. He didn't even finish the team workouts. He didn't even make it to the linebacker workouts. He quit during the team workouts. And this is a man who was the number 8 pick in the 2010 draft. So, I mean, this dude is probably only, 23, 22 years old. What do you think about that, man?
Well, I mean, he wasn't taking him. He didn't come in there prepared. I mean, he wanted to take some time off, but if you're going to come back in, you better come back in prepared. You got to prepare yourself to come back in. That's his fault. He shouldn't have done that.
I mean, not even finishing the team conditioning drills. Like I said, they didn't even break up in the positions. He didn't even finish. That's basically like jogging, bro.
Yeah. So I mean, he needs to ask himself a question, man. Are you gonna are you prepared to put in the work to get yourself back to where you were? You know, he has to put in the work to
Question's still out there for him? I mean, to me, I wouldn't want, if it was me, he'd have to come in looking like Hercules before I'd even give him a shot. I wouldn't want anything to do with
him. Right. He has to get himself back in shape. Basically, he needs to do that, and he has to get himself mentally back in shape. I didn't know he was trying to come back in the league. He's trying to come back in the league now.
He said he was gonna try to make a return. I guess he figured he had some bills to pay. But like I say, I'm just reading right here. It says he did not even finish the team workout. He didn't even make it to the linebacker drills. And he said on Twitter, no excuses for my failures. My success, no apologies. What are y'all doing at Alabama with these people where you don't teach them English? I'm going to read this exactly how this gentleman wrote this.
And Deshaun Jackson went to Berkeley. Oh, yeah, Marshawn Lynch is a very educated guy. He went to Berkeley, too. Oh, come on,
you
man.
Can beat up Marshawn Lynch.
Don't even blame this. Uh-huh. Marshawn Lynch speaks very good English. Are you kidding me? Marshawn Lynch?
Marshawn Lynch is
one of the
Super Bowl. He's not worried. Marshawn Lynch is one of the Super Bowl. He's not worried about that.
He won a Super Bowl, but he's one of the most inarticulate men I've ever heard. What did he even
Don't worry if he can write books. He writes checks. Now let me go back to
whatever, man. And he went to Berkeley. That's the California's finest school, right? Come on, man.
Hey, let me go back to
Come on, man. That's how it is at all these schools, man.
No excuse for my failures. My success, no apologies. I that I owe is absolute honesty. Keep
no, because
100.
You can't go by Twitter. It's because you're restricted in terms of the number of the characters.
No, dude. No,
on
keep
Twitter.
It,
you
keep
can't
it,
even,
keep it,
you can't even
keep
go
it.
By Twitter. So don't even go there. You can't even use Twitter as an example.
Keep it 100, but that's what they all say.
I guess.
Hashtag hustle.
If you say
wow.
So. If you say so.
That is that is some weird wild stuff. I did not know that. That's very interesting. my goodness. What do you think about Rolando McClain, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know about the comeback and everything, seeing that, but I was gonna bring up about trying to get another shot in the league and a chance. You can't gotta like you say you gotta come prepared and ready, and that might be a knock, but he's young. Somebody's gonna give him a chance.
Well, apparently, here it says the Ravens actually still own the rights to him, so I guess maybe
they
own
do
the rights throughout the season. I guess so. Who knows?
I was gonna say also he wasn't the only guy I heard that didn't do too good. This I think goes back to I don't know if it was a combine or the pro day. You know if you heard about the guy you all former top recruits Satchel Henderson, that big offensive lineman who was like the best lineman in the country, who was like 6'9". I heard he didn't do too good in his pro day whatever. And Scott's looking like man he really messed up.
You know what and interesting you brought that up. He's talking about Chantrell Henderson.
Chantrell Henderson.
Yeah, he's an offensive tackle for University of Miami. He originally signed with USC, but he signed at the beginning of USC sanctions when they were allowing players to transfer schools, and he transferred schools. And guess what? USC did not miss him. He was the consensus number one player coming out of high school, but dude has not lived up to anything, really. I mean, he still has, he's still big, he's still 6'8", he's still 3-something, and he can still move, but, you haven't really heard his name in 4 years. And, for a guy like that at the University of Miami, that's letting you know that maybe he wasn't that good. You said you heard that his pro day was kind of a flop, Mike?
Yeah, they said Scott, they were saying he wasn't ready, kind of, because some scouts were saying, like, it wasn't too good, what happened, It's like he was kind of out of shape, He was kind of saying that I think he stopped. I guess he said he wasn't ready, whatever. I mean,
He quit his pro day, too?
Yeah, he quit on it. He didn't go all full steam. He quit on it.
Wow.
So, they were saying that was definitely not good. Well, he wasn't ready. He was kind of dehydrated, like, whatever. I mean, man, you got to be ready for that, though, man. You got scouts. This is just like you said, it's a job interview. Trying to show you what team you're going to go on. You're trying to make money, so, man, you got to be ready.
My thing is, how do you get that far out of shape? And the season is only, four months. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. He quit his pro day. Quit his pro day halfway through it. Was unable to finish. Wow. I don't know what to say about that. It's, season's only 4 months away. It's like, how do you not finish a pro, not finish a work? I mean, a pro day workout is not, it's not like, to me, it's not even like a hell week. Basically, it's just like a extended, extended combine. All you're doing is lifting, running the four, It's not, it's not like, especially for a lineman, they're not going to have you out there, doing wind sprints or nothing, so I don't, Maybe he was injured, Man, mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully, maybe he was injured, but that's kind of ridiculous, you know, especially, you know, he was suspended 3 times for marijuana when he was at University of Miami. I mean, he might find himself not getting drafted at all. He was already, you know, 6th or 7th round projection. He might have kind of dug himself his own grave. That sucks. You know, it's not, you know, these are young guys. You know, they're not the devil or anything. But, you know, sometimes you just got to wonder what their mindset is, you know, especially when they enter into something as important as that. I mean, all this stuff is important now, you know, so I don't know. That's kind of wild. Let's see, anything else for the news besides your boy Darren Sharper? It looks like DNA was found on one victim. So,
I mean, granted, Tony Wiley, I mean, you know, no homo, I mean, Darren Sharper, I mean, I was shocked to hear about this. I mean, I ain't no lie, you know, I mean, I love women, but, you know, he's an attractive guy, so, what, I mean, based on the story I was reading, like, I mean, and then, too, he was a former NFL player, so, I mean, that's true where it happened like that. We're like, man, why do that? I mean, I know we probably had a lot of women that throwing their legs at him and stuff like that. Like I say, again, he's an attractive guy, you know, and now to go down to be a rapist, man, and...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, register.
What in the world do you need to be raped? Oh my God, man! I think this is something.
And I mean, and not, like I said, this wasn't just a, you know, drunk, you know, Colin Kaepernick type, you know, Jameis Winston type of situation. This is, from what I looks like serial rape. You know, I mean, what is it? 9 people now, or 7 people, or something?
They're
like
saying
that?
One day they had to drink whatever and put in, you know, something in the cup, whatever, and the drinking, they were saying, like, man.
Yeah, he's going to be gone. Even if he's innocent, man, he's still going to be gone, man, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
It's innocent,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah, it's going to be a wrap for him. No, it's just too many cases, too. I mean, innocent until proven guilty, but you're looking pretty damn guilty when it's this many people, you know, saying the same, you know, and they're all saying the same exact story, and they're all in different states. You know, this is Louisiana, California, Florida, Arizona, and Nevada. This has all happened. That's 5 different states. Same thing, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. $1 million bail, you know, and they're saying that I don't even know what kind of Zoltabine, I don't even know what that is. That he said they would be, I don't know. That's, like I said, that's wild. You know, you never really know anybody. I mean, but, you know, this a dude, you know, possible, you know, Hall of Famer, you know, who might not, well, I don't know about Sharper, but, you know, anyway, he was a Pro Bowl player. He might, you know, possible, I don't know, maybe might have had a chance to make the Hall, but, you know, it's definitely not going to look so good now. That's kind of sad there. Let's,
Yeah, it is.
While we're talking about this type of stuff, let's segue over to your boy, your main man, Clauzel. What do you have to say about what's been going on with Famous Jameis?
Well, you know, first of all, and I've said this from the beginning, this guy, we know when he gets to the league, if he makes it to the league, because I know he plays baseball, this guy's going to be the face of a franchise, okay? He's going to be projected in another 5-6 years one of the best quarterbacks in this league, you know. And he's a very confident guy in terms of his personality. He's not ashamed of who he is. He's not one of these guys. He's not going to marry you-know-who. If he had a choice between Megan Fox and Megan Good, he'd take Megan Good. Let's just put it that way, all right?
I don't know from what I've seen.
Whatever Sarah looked like. Well, look at his main girl though.
But I'm saying if your side chick is supposed to be better than your main chick, is your side chick supposed to be the one that's making
you? Not true. That is not true. Your side chick is not necessarily better than your main chick. That is not true.
I mean, if you're a superstar though,
yeah,
already got a bad.
He messed up there. He messed up. Well, no, you even said last year it's not necessarily the right one, but it's right now. Remember you said that last year, and I think that's what the situation was with that.
So
you put all that in the fact he's a very good quarterback, he's a very talented quarterback, and he's a very highly cerebral quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He has a cerebralness in college. I'm not comparing college, in my opinion, of a Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck. He's very that cerebral. So when you match these two together, I mean, you have a guy. I know you disagree with me. Let me finish.
Yeah, no, that's
when you have these two together. When you have these two together, when you mix these two together, I mean, it's a threatening image. It's threatening. That's the point I'm saying. It's threatening. So to prevent this guy from even getting into the league, you know, I mean, they're going to try to do whatever they can to put something, to throw something at him and make it stick, you know. I mean, this New York Times article was ridiculous. They said a woman went to the counseling center, all right, and felt like she had some sort of, I'm going to look this up right now to make sure I quote it right.
She had some sort of traumatic experience.
But I wouldn't say it was rape, but it was a traumatic experience.
What does that mean?
Exactly. What the heck does that mean?
My thing is, first of all, not only what does that mean, but how did that even get released? Who released that?
Exactly. You know, that's why I asked my wife earlier today, because she works at a counseling center. But what I'm saying is,
because that's,
you know,
rape shield stuff, right? I mean, technically.
Unless the victim
has came forward and pressed charges, that should be protected by, I mean, the rape shield works both ways.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Like, whatever is said in a counseling center is confidential, too. Unless the woman that needed counseling was running around telling everybody. But anyway, so they're gonna throw that out there, and then they're going to say, okay, the Tallahassee Police Department was bad in their investigation. Trust me, when things are deleted from a computer, let's say, like, they said they had a video of them at that club, and then it was overwritten, or whatnot. Oh, trust me, that's not overwritten. Even if it's overwritten, they still can get access to that video. All right, if you delete something off a computer, you can still pull it up. You know, if somebody has the right piece of equipment, you can still pull it up. So that whole line right there is ridiculous.
Unless they went through and got one of them, what is it, the cleaner programs or whatever, you can still, because there's temporary data storage and all that. And the video, they said it was actually of them actually having sex, right?
Well, that was the video allegedly that these football players were taking while they were doing it. Not the video. No, there was a video of them at the club, you know, when they met, and then they were trying to see if he gave her some drink or something like that.
And they're saying that video was lost,
and I don't believe that video was lost. No, that video was not lost.
But they did say, what about the video of them having sex, though? Is that video? Because they said they actually have a video of them actually having sex.
Well, I don't know. The football player said they deleted it or something like that. That's what the football player said they did. But even if they deleted it, they could still pull it back up, you know. So they probably did pull it back up, and they saw that it was consensual. So the thing is, man, I mean, we know as African-American men, we know if there was even a speck of evidence against Winston, he would have been indicted. We know that, right?
So,
I mean, he would have been indicted immediately. It didn't matter if he was getting preferential treatment or not. If there was even a threat, like even just an assumption or anything that leading to something, he would have been indicted over that, man. So the point of the matter is they're just trying to do whatever they can to get something on this guy, man. And if I were Jameis Winston, I wouldn't talk to the media at all until I get out of Florida State. I wouldn't talk to him at all anymore.
I wouldn't either. I would even go so far as to say this. I think that in Florida, and I know y'all, you know, we even in Florida, whatever, but I think that they would have indicted him to try to draw attention away from the Trayvon Martin case, if they could have.
Maybe.
Because it was all pretty much going on at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was. It was. But,
that would have definitely, you know, and I hate to play devil's advocate, but then you could have had people, you know, well, maybe, instead, oh, they're raped, so maybe, you know how people think. You know what I'm talking about.
You know?
One bad head, that means they're all bad, you know? Florida's crazy.
Oh.
He was all justified.
Hold up, but what you had better believe is you think that the Florida State, the campus, I don't believe that 100% of that campus is behind Winston. So he needs to Winston. I think it's very polarized on that campus. I think there's a people in that administration that think he did something wrong. And I think that what he needs to do is he needs to be very careful about who he associates with on that campus and who he talks to. You know what I mean?
And, you know, I know, I used to go to Florida State. You know, you guys would go there. We go there together sometimes. There would always be stares. You know what I mean? Even though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely that, you know, that kind of element there. You know, as much fun, like I said, I don't want to indict Florida State. It's a beautiful campus. I had tons of fun there. But there was always kind of that, you know, you get that kind of feeling sometimes, you know, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yep.
You know, one of something does not belong, and that something is me, you know. So, you know, you definitely, you know, get that kind of feeling, you know. Especially, you know, at night, you know, when they used to have the parties at that, remember we used to go to those parties at that
state house
or whatever, you know, you walking around campus afterwards, and, you know, you kind of felt the need to, you know, get back to FAMU quick for something crazy might have happened. I definitely see where you're coming from there. It's kind of sad that that's still going on. Mike, what do you think about the situation?
Like you had said, Mike, that story is always going to come up, man, pretty much. You know, it's sad, but it's pretty much going to be like that. So making a story,
Jameis has had a good baseball season. Do you think that with all these distractions that's going on, do you think he might be tempted just to say screw it and enter the baseball draft and then just, you know, go on about his business?
No. Don't do that. I think his plan is to get his degree. I would get that degree, but I wouldn't talk to the media that much anymore. And I would, like, maybe.
But then if you don't talk to the media... I'm not even cut you off, cousin, but you know, don't talk to the media. Then say when he come out, they're gonna say, "Well, Jameson's kind of arrogant. He don't talk to us and all that. You know that all that stuff."
Say that about him anyway.
Or he's acting.
You know what I mean? They're gonna say that about him anyway.
Yeah.
They're gonna say that about him anyway. Like I said, if you're a nice guy, you're a bad guy. They ain't gonna like you anyway. So, I mean, from a legal standpoint, he should just – he's not going to do this, but I would suggest he not talk to the media no more until he leaves Florida State.
And that's what I was saying about, you know, early last season about these smaller towns, these college towns, is hard for – you know, I think it's going to be hard for a guy – if he chooses to do that, like you said, it's going to be hard for a guy like him to disappear in Tallahassee. You know, I mean, think about it. I haven't been to Tallahassee in damn near 10 years, and I could probably find where that dude lives in maybe like 10 minutes. You know, if I came.
Yeah.
You know, seriously. You know, it's because it's not that many places anyway. So, you know what I mean? It's, you know, and it's not that much to do there. I mean, you know, you got Tennessee Street and Pensacola. You know, and Pensacola. You know, where else you gonna go? You know.
I mean, he can move back into dorms. I mean, he can move in the dorms. He can hang out at FAMU. I mean, I think that would be a good safe haven for him.
That might even be worse.
No, I disagree because, you know, he can hang out at FAMU. You got Kellen Winslow over there. He could be a mentor, kind of.
The last FSU quarterback I seen on FAMU's campus was Adrian McPherson, and he lost.
I mean, what do you mean? He lost. No, he shouldn't be talking to none of the women there. He should still have his girl, you know. But if he wants to hang out in places, you know, he should go to FAMU or someplace like that. Because if he goes to FSU, if he's even talking to a woman, he's going to be scrutinized. People are going to take pictures of him.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, not to say that wouldn't happen at FAMU, but you know, it's just he's going to feel more comfortable at a FAMU in comparison to FSU, you know. That's what I would do. I mean, I wouldn't be going to these frat parties and things like that at FSU, where these guys are going to look at me.
Not like you said, he's going to have a target on his back. You know, he's going to have a target on his back wherever he is. There's going to be camera phones. If I was him, I'd go get that girl from Alabama, wherever she is, make her come to Tallahassee, get me a little apartment, and camp out for a, you know, camp out for a year, and next year get
well,
the
she,
hell on.
She's an athlete at the school she's at. She's an athlete at what is it, Rice University. So, and I don't even know if she's with that chick no more. So, I don't know.
Well, if she's not, I'm gonna find her myself then, because she was pretty fine. But you know, that's the other thing that kind of got to me too, though. It's like, you figure if she really wanted to go there, I mean, it would only take a snap of his fingers to talk to the athletic director to get her, you know what I mean? To get
well,
her
I don't
to
know about that, man. But she plays basketball, you know what I mean? So it ain't like, I don't think they can.
It ain't like FSU's team is UConn or something. I mean, like I say, you know, you can, you know.
This is Jameis Winston's
girlfriend. She needs a spot on the team. Go kick one of those losers off. You know, it's easy.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe she's trying to do her own thing. I don't know, man. But he messed that up, man. Goodness, boy. He messed that up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to bring up a subject about that. You know, same thing later on, and you know, when we get to our little bit of freestyle episode of
yeah.
the show, because it's kind of becoming a growing trend, especially with our kind of folks, if you know what I mean.
And, I know what you mean.
And with the release of certain videos, we really need to start attacking this problem. You know, this has to stop. I'm tired of it, but we'll get to that. A little bit later. It's I don't know. Like I say, that I forget what was it. New York, who released all that? Was it the New York Daily News or was it the Times?
The Times.
Okay, yeah. See, if it was the Daily News, I'd kind of be like, yeah, because they're kind of a tabloid. Times was kind of more solid, and you know. But that was a pretty damning. I mean, they pretty much said that no investigation was done. So, you know, it's pretty. I don't know. It doesn't look good for boy. I mean, I don't know how much further they can take this. I don't, you know, I know there's no double jeopardy. Well, technically he wasn't on trial. You know, there is a double jeopardy clause, but technically he never was brought to trial. But I don't know where else it could go, you know, besides civil. And then, you know, like, you know, we were talking about, you know, are they, you know, why haven't they brought the lawsuit already if that's what they're going to do? Are they waiting?
No, they're going to bring a civil trial.
Contract or?
Yeah, they're going to bring a civil trial on him. So that's what the lawyer said.
But
so,
I mean, are they trying to wait until he gets to the NFL?
Maybe they already have plans on when and when they got plans. They're making their plans to their grounds to build a case against them.
Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, he put himself in this situation, man. Messing with these women, man. I mean, I think the year of the one night stand is over, man, for these athletes.
Man,
the
year of the hoe needs to be over, dude. It is not safe anymore. You will lose everything.
Yeah,
these bras will take everything. I was listening to What's Beef by Black Star. You know, both Def and Talib Kweli. I was listening to that song What's Beef, and he was like, you know, those chicks will ruin your life. Over nothing. Like, yep. Seriously, your life will be ruined, dude. They got me, dude. I am so scared right now to lose what I don't even have. I don't even have millions of dollars like these cats, and I don't want these chicks taking what I got. I am scared of, you know, I'll be running background checks on girls. Seriously, dude. I'll be Googling broad, just like, you know, asking for birth certificates. It's like, you know, I am not trying to lose. You know, cause I mean, you know, it bothers me because it's like, man, you know, I look at you, Clauzel, and, you know, a couple of our other friends, y'all getting married and finding these nice women, and it's like, I don't know, y'all, you guys are like the bravest dudes on earth to me because I am so frightened. Like, once I get to a certain level with a girl, it's like, you know, I'll be wanting to ask her, it's like, you're not going to screw me over, are you? Like, please, don't. You know, he's like, man, just let me keep a little, you know, especially in California, we lose in this state, you know. This is not the state to be with somebody you don't want to be with, I'll say that, you know, because we lose everything out here. You know, you'd be better off. That's why I say I'm going to have to come down south and get married down there and then bring a girl back, you know, and be under those statutes of limitations down there, because up here we automatically lose. You know,
and
end up bankrupt out here. You know, so it's not, you know, it's ugly. You know, you gotta keep your game straight out here and keep your head up. It's, I don't know. But let's kind of switch gears here.
Oh, go ahead. I guess y'all are going to trade Terrell Pryor. I heard the Raiders are now. I guess by Tuesday now, they think something could happen if Terrell Pryor wants out.
It's definitely going to happen. You know, we got Matt Schaub now. I don't know what that means. You know, the Raiders kill me, man. They make moves to where you don't even know if you're happy or not. Because it's like, what does that mean? You know, it's like, okay, Matt Schaub, what does that mean? He's somebody who got beat out by, you know, a rookie out of University of Houston. You know, so it's the Raiders, man. This draft is really going to have to redeem them for me right now. You know, because it's just, after a while, it can just become too much. You know.
Now, are you guys going to ever get a new stadium in?
Well, right now, they are talking about this Santa Clarita thing, but they don't know if that's going to go through. They don't know what's going to, because it's actually been a holdup. They're holding up, somebody filed an injunction. Oakland's in a bad state right now. I'll tell you that right now. You know, financially, you know, they're not quite in that Detroit level, but they're almost there, you know. The only thing that keeps Oakland alive is, you know, people don't realize Oakland has a very large waterfront, the Port of Oakland. It's the second largest commercial port in the world. And, you know, that part of the economy and our downtown, you know, being across from San Francisco, is basically kind of what keeps the city going. But, you know, when you get a city like Oakland that has a lot of crime, you get people that move out of the area into the surrounding suburbs. So the infrastructure of the actual city weakens because you're not getting those tax dollars anymore. And that's kind of what happened in Oakland. And, you know, we've gotten approved for stadiums before, but, you know, I mean, they renovated the Coliseum. I mean, the Coliseum has been around for a while. Coliseum has been around, I think, since, like, the 60s. And, you know, it's been through earthquakes, you know, fires, all sorts of stuff. They were supposed to move them down to where, kind of almost by where the Niners are going to be at in Santa Clara. I don't know what's going on there. They filed an injunction. I don't even know if the Niners are going to be moving. They filed an injunction. So, you know, I don't know what's going on with that situation right now. And, that, you know, that's kind of last I've heard of it. The mayor in Oakland is this lady. She's kind of weak. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air what's going on there. I mean, the stadium's in bad condition though. Really, you know, it'll be sad if they end up losing the Raiders and the Warriors. You know, well, actually, the Warriors are pretty much a done deal. They're already going to be leaving to go back over to San Francisco. But, you know, if they lose the Raiders and the A's, you know, it's like, man, that's gonna hurt the city even more. I mean, if you go to like the area around the stadium, it's like one of them areas where it priced itself out of existence because it's all waterfront property and like I said, it's very close to San Francisco, so it kind of priced, but it's also like right on the edge of the hood, so it priced itself out of, you know what I mean? You can't really afford to be over there, and you know, California, the way our system is set up, they don't give that many tax breaks. You know, our taxes are horrible out here. You know, so it's not conducive for a new, you know, it's really not conducive for, you know, a business to start out here. It's not, not at all. You know, I've been looking to start a small business for the past year, and, you know, the way the tax situation is set up, it's like, man, you know, so I don't know. Hopefully, I really hate to see them lose them, but, you know, you never know. I mean, if they don't get into arena, I mean, they could easily end up down in L.A., you know, I mean, you got the second largest media market that hasn't had an NFL team going on damn near 20 years now. So,
and they building that stadium down there. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like I told Matt the other day, they've projected a stadium before, you know, and they've got approved for it and nothing happened. You know, they got approved for a Hollywood Park stadium, you know, almost 15 years ago, back when I was still living in L.A., and it never came to fruition. So, you know, until, like I said, and that's, you know, I read an article where they said until they can get a signed team, they're not going to start building any, you know, they're not going to completely commit to a stadium. So basically they already have to, they said what they're going to do, for L.A. to get a stadium, basically what they said, they would have to get a team and put the team in a temporary spot, like have them play like at the Coliseum or at the Rose Bowl until they finish building the stadium. But they said until they actually get a team, they're not going to build a stadium. So it's not, you know, it's not going to be a situation like where they're going to build a new stadium and, you know, and then get the team later. They're going to, you know, I don't know. But, you know, you got USC and UCLA in the same city too. So, you know, some people get their football fixed out of them too.
Mm-hmm. So for Frisco, wow. So the way it seemed like with the 49ers, so it's still where, so you saying they might have to look for another location for their stadium because I heard they stay, they should be ready by next year, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Theirs is, I don't know if the injunction covered them too, because like I say, they were talking about both of them playing at the same stadium for a while. You know, the Niners and the Raiders. Like I say, I know that they hit a, you know, they hit a snag in Santa Clara, and I'm pretty sure that's where their stadium was going to be. I haven't looked it up recently, but you know, I was just looking, you know, in regard to the Raiders. So, you know, like I said, I don't, you know, I'm not completely 100% sure, but, you know, like I said, the way the economy is out here, I wouldn't be surprised if nothing really gets done, you know.
Hey.
It's just not, you know, look at what's happening here in Sacramento. You know, we got the Kings back, and, you know, we still haven't, you know, built them a new stadium yet. And, you know, they fought hard to get these guys back.
They sure did. You kind of forgot you heard about it, and it's kind of, you know, we hear much about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm reading an article right now that they're saying that they might have to share the stadium with the 49ers, and that's not really, you know, of course, that's not ideal for anybody. This Levi, what do they call it? I think they're calling it Levi Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it's going to I think the 2016 season, that's going to be home of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
What's
yeah.
up with what happened? What are they going to turn Candlestick Park into?
Huh?
What are they turning Candlestick Park into?
I don't know if they're going to turn it into anything. I mean, it's not, you know, Candlestick is old, man. I mean,
yeah, I heard it was in a black
set.
Neighborhood. They said it was in a black neighborhood. They said it was in a black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
or
not really. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, to me, like I said, I would, you know, it's not, you know, it's right by the water. I mean, it's, you know, it's not, you know, it's not like it's in a hole, you know. I mean, it ain't, you know, it's not really, you know, I mean, to me, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, in the hood. I mean, it's, you know, it's like I said, to me, it's, you know, it's kind of isolated where it is. You know, it's like it's right off the freeway. It's right by the water. You know, it's kind of like on its own little, you know, like its own little peninsula.
But the Coliseum's kind of in the hood, Brady, pretty much.
The Oakland Coliseum?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Oakland Coliseum's in East Oakland. It's, you know, shit, my dad grew up, you know, my grandmother lived, you know, 20 years. They used to walk to the games, you know, right around the corner. It's Oakland Coliseum's definitely, you know, in the hood. And that's why, you know, like I said, that's why I said they kind of priced that area out of it, you know, kind of priced it out of existence because nothing can really afford to be around there, you know, and it's like, you know, and they don't, you know, California doesn't give, you know, tax incentives, you know, for businesses or anything like that. So, you know, it's pretty much, like I said, it's going, you know, it's not quite Detroit and these other cities, but it's going the way there, you know, the way things are going, you know, right now. You know, it's a lot of gentrification going on, you know, and stuff like that. So it's looking bad, you know. Hopefully something happens soon.
How long has it been like that, though, man? It's been like that for a good minute, huh?
About since the late 80s.
All right. Hey. How is Palo Alto? How far is Palo Alto from Santa Clara?
Palo Alto?
Yeah. I've been to Palo Alto, but I ain't been there in a long time, though.
Palo Alto is like, it's on the San Francisco side of the, it's on the San Francisco side of the bay.
Okay.
It's kind of like over by. Once again, you know, Palo Alto is kind of a. It's kind of a weird area too because you have Palo Alto, which is really nice, and then you have East Palo Alto, which is a hood, which is like one of the, you know, it's like one of the worst hits you could be in. But, you know, you have, you know, Palo Alto, you know, is the home of Stanford. And, you know, it's you know, it's a lot of money over there. Redwood City, San Mateo.
Okay.
You know, you kind of start getting into that Silicon Valley money. It's a lot of, you know, a lot of million-dollar houses out there. And, you know, like I said, hey, you know. And the thing is, you know, those places don't even want to, you know, I mean, if they could afford the land out there, which, you know, the land out there is going to be, you know, 10 times more anywhere else. It's like they, you know, they really don't even need a stadium. They probably don't even want a stadium out there, you know. I mean, the thing about the Oakland, where the Oakland Stadium is, the Coliseum right now, is it's right by the airport. It's, you know, it's out of the way. It's very accessible. It's, you know, pretty much in between two freeways. Oh, right, like I say, right now, Oakland Stadium is in the perfect place. You know, to me, like I say, to me, Candlestick is in the perfect place. You know, so it's, you know, but, you know, they're just old. You know, they, you know. Really, Oakland, you know, they should have just, or, you know, ideally they would have just torn down the, you know, torn down the stadium and built, you know, kind of like how they did, you know, in some other cities and just built a new one, you know, right next to it. But, you know.
Yeah, I was about to ask them. That's what I was about to ask you. You say it was a good spot, Candlestick. I'm just saying, why they just didn't tear it down and then build something right over there? Wow. Have they ever talked about doing that?
Where Candlestick, that's why I said Candlestick is like isolated. You know, Candlestick is, like I say, it's pretty much like at the top of a hill by itself, so there's no other spot, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, you know, like I said, Candlestick is kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like I said, it's like on its own little outlet, you know, to where there's not, you know, nothing else over there, to where, you know, to where you can't, you know, it doesn't, there's no big field or nothing like that next to it. You know, but like, you know, this other stadium, you know, Levi Stadium, you know, it's going to be in, like I said, it's going to be in Santa Clara. And that's kind of like by San Jose, which, you know, San Jose's economy is booming right now, too. But, you know, it can make sense for both teams to play out there. Both are, you know, it's funny, that place is actually equal distance from, you know, from both Oakland and San Francisco. It's like right in the middle of the bay, you know, on the southmost point of the bay. So, you know, it would only be an extra, you know, 30, 45-minute drive, you know, freeway drive to get there. But, you know, I don't know. I guess that's a done deal. You know, I don't know. It's just, like I said, the Raiders, you know, they don't have that, you know, they didn't get approved for whatever they were going to try to do. So, you know, who knows what they're going to do right now. Like I said, you know, they're saying that, you know, Al Davis's son, he's, like I said, he still wants the original deal that his dad wanted in L.A., but he doesn't want the L.A. deal. He wants the old L.A. deal that was going to be at Hollywood Park that I was telling you guys about, you know, and that's what they proposed. You know, like I said, that's been on the table for 20, you know, that's been on the table for 20 years when they were, you know, when they first thought that they were going to move back. You know, but it never happened.
Are you talking about Al Davis' son? So, Mark Davis, you know, you think he might want to move the team back to L.A.?
Oh yeah, most. I mean, anybody wants to move a team. I mean, L.A. is a dream, dude. You know, you move a broke team to L.A. I mean, you look at it like this: you move a team to L.A. into a new stadium, you're instantly probably the richest owner in football, maybe. You know, your team is probably, like I said, your team is probably instantly, you know, you're instantly going to be in the top five, maybe, if not one or two in terms of value, just from the move, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in a brand new stadium in L.A., you know, that's, you know, like I said, you're instantly going to be the top five in team value and franchise value, instantly.
And a team that's a story franchise as well.
There's a lot of money to be made. You know, it's like I tell people, it's like you look at the Raiders. When the Raiders went to go play in L.A., that kind of, everybody already knew about the Raiders, but that kind of opened up the doors for them. I mean, you still see people in L.A. wearing Raiders jerseys. Really, you still see people all over the country wearing Raiders jerseys just because they're kind of fashionable. But, you know, like I said, you put a winning franchise in L.A., it's going to be, I mean, look at the turnaround that happened with the Clippers, you know, and they haven't won anything yet.
Mm-hmm. They got getting some players, though, you know, we got some marquee players, though, right now.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, they're still basically building, and you know, they've already, you know, damn near doubled the value of their franchise. So, you know, LA would be a good for any team to roll to. Let me kind of switch it back over here. I want to start talking about some more draft talk. I'm looking at the latest mock draft here by Todd McShay. These dudes, it's like I say, I hate the way that they change their mock so, you know, so radically. One minute one guy will be at the top, and then the next guy, you know. To me, nothing, you know, to me, barring an injury, nothing should change it that much. You know, but like I say, he still has Clowney going at number one. This is from his latest draft from a couple of days ago. He has Clowney at one, Robinson at two, Mack at three, Bortles at four, and Watkins at five. And see, and the one thing I noticed, well, his draft, he has Manziel coming in at six, I mean at eight to Minnesota, and Bridgewater going to Tennessee at 11. A lot of mock drafts that I've been looking at have had Bridgewater and Manziel falling to the end of the first, even into the second round. So, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I try not to follow what these mocks do because I know they're, you know, they're really iffy and, you know, it's really just guys, you know, coming up with stuff. But that being said, we've heard that Bridgewater had kind of a lackluster workout, and like I said, I really don't know what's the knock on Manziel. I think people are just hating on him. You know, excuse me. We had the whole situation with Dion and, you know, our boy Greg from Black Sports Online, you know, with the ghetto tendencies and everything with Johnny. But, you know, as much as they talk, you know, old boy came out and scored a 32 on the Wonderlic, you know, which is pretty good, you know, considering it's out of, what, 36. So I think they said that, you know, he had the top score out of all quarterbacks.
What are you talking about, Johnny? Johnny scored a 32?
Yeah, Manziel.
No, he had the top score out of all the highest score is 50. He had the highest score out of the top projected quarterbacks, out of Broyles, Bridgewater.
Oh, I thought it was out of 36.
Yeah. No, it's out of 50.
Oh, damn. You do this. It's out of 50.
The highest score this year was 38, I believe.
Oh, okay. Huh.
38 by some guy. Some guy made a 38. I don't know who it is.
Oh, okay. So basically he had the top squad of the top players then.
Yeah. Okay. But my thing is, why is it all of a sudden why do they say this year? I thought this score was confidential.
I mean, they've leaked it before. You know, like when who was that we were talking about who went to the remember Maurice Claiborne? Remember he scored like a four or something crazy like that?
Yeah.
You know, they'll leak them before. I think, you know, when Vince Young, I think he scored like a 10. You know, usually when it's something extraordinary, they'll leak the scores out, you know. And, you know, I mean, like I say, none of this, you know, nothing is really you know, guys tell other guys, you know, somebody's cousin hears about it and then tweets about it or, you know, gets paid $100 by some, you know, newspaper to drop the score, you know. So it's not, you know, none of this stuff. You know, nobody ever, like I say, you know, it's just about like with the gang member stuff, you know, with Deshaun Jackson. It's stuff nobody fesses up for, but it's stuff, you know, stuff like this always comes out, you know. But, you know, like I said, I believe he confirmed it himself, though, that that's what he got, you know, was a 32. What do you guys think about the way that these quarterbacks are going right now? Like I said, I've seen some mocks where, you know, like I say, only one guy is going in the first round. I mean, do you think that they're losing their luster? Do you think that this is justified? I mean, you know, like I said, I posted an article, you know, where they said that, you know, E.J. Manuel would be the eighth best quarterback if he came out this year. But, you know, other guys aren't that high on him. I mean, what do you think about these QBs, Clavel?
I like Teddy Bridgewater. Well, first of all, I don't think they're as good as the guy that stayed in college. We know who that is. But
Mariota?
No, Jameis Winston. But I think – I don't think Mark
– what do you mean stayed in school? He's a redshirt freshman. He had no choice but to stay in school.
Oh, yeah, my bad, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who had to stay in school, yeah. I don't think none of
them. He only played 1 year, so, yes.
In other words, you didn't even need to mention that.
Yeah, but whatever.
I just like him.
I like Teddy Bridgewater. I like Johnny Manziel, but I'm not 100% sold on him. In terms of, I mean, he's kind of a high risk, high reward. I'm not sold on Blake Broyles. Ventberger could be okay, depending upon the system he's in. So out of all these quarterbacks, how big I am on them, on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess I give it about a 6.
What about your boy, A.J. McCarron? He says he believes he's the best quarterback in the country.
Yeah, he's crazy, too, if he thinks that. So the thing is,
got that confidence, bro.
If he goes to the right system, you know, if he's getting drafted by, like, San Francisco or, you know, a team that already has everything in place like he had at Alabama, then he'll probably do well. But if he has a team where he has to resurrect the franchise and build around him, that's not going to be good.
Well, he don't want to go to Frisco. There's a man named Kaepernick there who's about to sign, from what I understand, is going to be a very large contract.
But we don't know, man. He messes with all these women, you know.
Okay, yeah, I did. You know, Kaepernick, but I forgot to bring that up, too. Okay,
yeah,
Kaepernick is not
a Frisco guy. He's not a Frisco guy. I mean, they're all about family and image at Frisco. I mean, A.J. McCarron's the Frisco kind of a guy, you know. Well, no,
okay,
he's not,
well, let me ask you this question. Do you kind of think it with...
I mean, he's a winner, though. I mean, you can't knock on that, though.
Yeah, Ken Dorsey's a winner, too, but he won.
Yeah. With all the stuff that's going on with these quarterbacks, I mean, when it first came out, this Kaepernick thing, people kind of jumped on it and kind of tried to railroad him. But, you know, now it's kind of coming out that, you know, him and this other guy, who was, I guess he's a receiver for Seattle, they didn't really do anything, and they called the police. You know, they were the ones who called the ambulance and the police, and, you know, so it's kind of coming out that maybe this story might have got, you know, kind of might have got blown up. I mean, do you think that this is going to kind of how it's going to be, you know, for football players from now on, you know, for at least for, you know, for the current time?
Yeah. Yeah. But only thing we need to know is that he had a sexual relationship. To answer your question, Callie Mike, yes. Yes. But only thing he had a sexual relationship with that woman.
Technically, he said he didn't have sex with her. And I don't know if she's... Huh?
She said she had sex with him.
She said she did. He said he didn't because he said he didn't want to have sex with anybody that was drunk. And he said, then him and the other guy...
He had sex with her before. They've had a relationship in the past also.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just referring to that night, though.
A sexual relationship. And that's all that needs to be sent out to the media. That's all that needs to be sent, just like with the Winston thing. All that needs to be sent out in the media, even if it's true or not, is that another woman came out. That's all that needs to come out to assassinate that person's character, you know. So the job was done. You know, even if he didn't do anything wrong, it just taints his image.
I mean, what do you think?
I thought that, too.
I mean,
they were talking about the marijuana, though, too, though. That was a more big thing than how they came in when the story first came. They were talking about the marijuana.
That, I mean, to tell you the truth, even though as much as I hate to say it, that might be something that they might just have to, you know, they're going to have to deal with that. I mean, shit, you got states where it's legal. You know, what about when the players go to Denver and Minnesota, you know, then what are you going to say? So, I don't know.
And Colin Kaepernick, women like Colin Kaepernick, man. I mean, they talk about Colin Kaepernick down here in Tampa.
He's light-skinned.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I hear women talk about him down here in Tampa. So, I mean, I don't think this is going to be the last time, you know, we hear stories about this with Colin Kaepernick, something tells me. I don't know.
Okay, I want to postpone because I want to ask you guys some questions about this. I want to postpone this one more time until the end of the show.
All right.
Now that we talked about the Niners, let's move on to another situation. What the hell is going on with Aldon Smith?
You know, right?
You know, he goes to the airport. He's already first of all, he has this crazy conk in his hair. Have you guys seen this? Like, dude, that is a perm. You know, it's like, what are you doing? You know, he's turning himself into a hair hat, which is the worst thing you can do. And... he's technically become a hair hat of hooligans. First, you know, he gets arrested with these guys.
Yes.
We don't hear anything about that anymore. Now you go to the airport. They pull you out for, you know, for checking, which, you know, they do to anybody. It's supposed to be random. You don't know if it's not, but it takes 5 minutes. and you say you have a bomb at the airport?
Well, you might.
You know,
are you crazy?
You know what? I think he was joking. But
no,
guy,
I know
joking like that.
It's like really, bro?
Yeah, no, it was stupid what he did. It was really stupid what he did. But I think he was joking. And
I think he was. I mean,
the guy
I'm,
didn't take
I'm
it
not,
as a joke.
I'm not, I don't think. I'm certain he was joking. But I mean, when does it stop with this dude? It's like, it's, you know, he's starting to become.
And
you know,
joke like that,
bro. You know, I mean, and this is a town, you know, like I said, this is a talented dude. I put him, you know, when he's healthy and on his game, I put him right there behind J.J. Watt. You know, this is, you know, this is an extremely talented young man. You know, he came, you know, had a 19-20 sack season, you know, was injured last season, had the gun stuff going, so he was suspended. But even the games that he was playing, he was still dominating, you know. And, it's, you know, and now you got, you know, a number one contender like the Niners who are trying to have to prepare to play without this guy. I mean, what can you do with this kind of guy? I mean, do you keep him? Do you stand by him? I mean, do you suspend him? What can you do with Aldon Smith?
They're going to have to get rid of him.
So you think for sure his career in San Francisco is over?
Nah.
Yeah, probably.
Can you trade this kind of guy, or do you have to cut him outright?
Yeah, you can trade him. I mean, San Francisco got picks. So you can
I just thought about it too. If y'all decide to do something or just let him go, the team that gets him is the team you don't want to get him, and he might get it together. It's the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh yeah, you don't want him to go there.
You don't want that, Cali Mike. But I mean, it's wild. I was like, when I heard this story, I'm like, damn, man. Because I mean, he's still facing.
We got Texas on here too.
We going on Texas. But he's still gonna be hearing something from, you know, what just happened this past year. So, you know, he might be suspended for some games for the situation he had with, like you said,
damn, I gotta get my cousin on here. But he works for his newspaper. Well, now he works for the Tribune. But from what the report is coming from the San Jose Mercury is that he's not going to play for 2014. It's already a wrap.
He's not playing.
I'm not entirely sure about that. I've seen that too. I think we'll just have to wait and see. Certainly a suspension is coming, but I don't know if he doesn't play the entire 2014 season. It's still kind of early, and you know they're still sorting this whole thing out. And as far as the Niners probably trading him or releasing him, they'll pick up his option. He's a pass rusher supreme, and you're not paying him $10 million next year. So he's relatively cheap at that price considering the talent and the upside. So you're going to pick up his option. You're going to pay him, and you'll still have the option to cut him, and you'll be done with his salary. So,
yeah,
you know, the Niners win. They win with that, and Balky is he's the cap manager. He's the cap expert for them.
His option is, I'm looking at it, his option is for $9.7 million, though.
Yeah, cheap. Considering the talent, cheap as hell.
That's what I mean, if he's going to play or not, though.
Yeah. But that's the thing. They can still cut him and not have to pay him. You see what I'm saying? They can pick before May 3rd. They can choose to do that. I think May 3rd is the date. They can pick up his option, and they can, if something happens, they can cut him. And then they'll just be done with it. But it's it's smart to pick up the option. You know, I mean, it's he's cheap.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I said,
really,
yeah,
really
cheap. That would definitely be a I don't know what's going on with this dude though. You know, he's had a DUI arrest. I think he's had two DUIs now. You know, with the felony, you know, possession of assault weapons and the stabbing fiasco that, went on at his house and, you know, I don't know, marijuana possession, you know, he's in crisis right now. He needs Lawrence Taylor to step in and help him, you know.
No, that would be the last person to help him out. Oh, my God.
I'll be on share experience, though.
That would be a
serious, though.
That I would ask it. I would ask
Lee,
for
I mean,
Lawrence Taylor.
He needs somebody though, man. It's sad. He's a young dude.
Lawrence Taylor
you know,
still
like,
needs
man.
Come on, Lawrence Taylor still needs somebody to help him out, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's true. It's just sad
happen,
seeing. I mean, it's just sad because we're literally seeing him throw his career away. I mean, this dude's only 24 years old, and you know, and like Tech said, you know, he's a supreme pass. I mean, he's like I said, I got him right. You know, I got him. You know, when he's healthy, I got him right behind Watt. You know, I mean, he's you know he's an impact dude. You know, and it's like, damn, he you know.
I mean, bring him to New England. I bet Bill Belichick will take him. Bill Belichick, they have a good way of rehabilitating people in New England, so I would.
You know, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, folks say that, and I think we give Bill Belichick more credit than we should, but if you think about it, who really have they rehabilitated? To me, they've kicked out quite a few players. I mean, they had Randy Moss come in for a season. I really can't call that rehabilitating him. They had, you know, they couldn't handle Brandon Merriweather. You know, I mean, who, you know, Bill, you know, I mean, think about it. As much as people say that Belichick is like this player tamer, who's he really tamed? You know, who's been a real problem child that went to New England and been like, okay, I'm getting my stuff together. I think that's just a label that we give him, you know, because he's a supposed authoritarian, you know.
And I like Lovie Smith. I think Lovie Smith is good at taming people too. So, you know.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know.
You know, Tampa. I mean, Lovie Smith is good, but I mean, is Tampa the kind of city you want a wild dude in? You know, who's already kind of wild. I mean, he's getting in trouble. He's getting in trouble in San Jose, bro. And San Jose is not the kind of city where you can, you know, easily get in trouble at. You know, he's getting in trouble in a, you know. So, like, you know, how, you know, it's like if you seriously, if you can't handle San Jose, you're going to handle Tampa and South Florida? It's like, I don't know about that, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike, yeah.
I mean, if you can't.
That's,
you know,
weird. That's all his problems was happening there, Mike. He was having problems in the San Jose area.
Yeah, that's where he got caught with the weed and the DUIs. And like I say, if you get in trouble in San Jose, that means you're doing something amazing because, you know, San Jose, like I say, San Jose is too close to Oakland, so they're too used to seeing crazy ass stuff happen to pull people over for DUIs and stuff like that. But, you know, like I say, if you can't handle being in that type of city that doesn't really have any clubs or anything, you know, and like I say, you weren't even in San Francisco, you're in San Jose, which means you were pulling the stunt. You know, like, I really couldn't count on you being in Tampa, you know, with some Ybor City and, you know, and Wild Bros, you know what I mean? And Wild Bros that drink, you know, and Guavuin and all that. I just, I don't know. He would have to be, like, in Green Bay somewhere where he's, you know, that's my thing. If you want to isolate these dudes and really get them together, put them in, you know, send them to Green Bay. Send them to Detroit, you know. You know, send him to a city where he got to stay inside or else he might get his ass,
yeah,
you know, it's real
tough. Yeah,
send him to Detroit.
Tampa does, it's not necessarily Miami, but it is a little party town. Yeah, I will say that.
Yeah, you know, I could, you
it,
know,
it
like
is.
I said.
It's right next to Orlando, too, so, you know.
You got to figure, this is the mindset of this dude. This dude is a grown NFL Pro Bowl player who had a party and put it on Craigslist. You guys know that that's how the situation ended up with the stabbing and stuff, right?
Nah, I didn't know about that. He did it on Craigslist. I didn't know about that. Wow.
They listed the party on Craigslist and Facebook. That's how the people who they didn't know started coming. And they were just letting random people into their house.
Hell no. He just don't do that, man.
Yeah. So, you know,
not at your house.
That's this kind of guy. So I don't know. You know, I
mean, and the guy said shot.
Kind of guy you want in a big city? If he, you know, you putting stuff on. If you're even using Craigslist and you're an NFL player, I don't know if I want you in a big city. You know.
I was gonna say too, the guys that did the shooter, he didn't even know those guys, right?
No, like I said, they all came off of Craigslist and in Facebook. And apparently they came in and showed guns, and then him and this other dude went and got guns and showed their guns, and then somebody was quicker than him and stabbed him for his trouble, you know. He learned a valuable lesson, you know. Only bring a gun to a knife fight when you're quicker than the dude with the knife, or you're prepared to shoot his ass, you know. But, you know, like I said, you know, how do you have a party where you let people come in your house and you don't know, and you don't even have security, you know? Why do you have a house party when you're an NFL player? Like, there's too many questions. Like I said, I don't know about that dude. It's something, you know, I think it's something deeply, deeply might be wrong with that cat, you know, if you ask me. I don't, you know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know, you know. Yes, he's, you know, a superior pass rusher, but I don't know how long
he's been. Something else is missing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something not clicking with him. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if the Niners have time to find out either. You know,
They already gave it to his rehab him last year and all the other stuff. So, like, you know, they decided to part with him. Hey, they did the best they could. They maybe feel like, it's, you know, you got to be somebody else's problem.
Exactly. Tex, while we got you on, I want to know, what are your views about Chris Johnson going to the Jets?
You know, this is the first off they made. I posted some efficiency numbers on Johnson last week. I don't know if you guys saw those, but I posted.
Yeah.
And he was a below-average running back. The offensive line was all right. They weren't the best, but they were all right. He passed up holes consistently to try to hit the home run. He's just an average back now. And the argument is, he had six straight 1,000-yard seasons. He rushed for this amount of yards. Well, the only other back that got more volume was Adrian Peterson. So, naturally, you know, he's going to be up there. But that doesn't make him an efficient football player. It doesn't make him one of the NFL's best running backs. You know, building that offense around Chris Johnson got a lot of people fired in Tennessee, too, is what people don't realize, which tells you everything. Now, with the Jets, you know, maybe he's maybe Rex Ryan, maybe somebody pulls him to the side like, look here, this is your role. We're going to get you 9 to 13 touches a game. We're going to try to get you out in space. You're going to play ball. And, you know, he's kind of lazy. He can't pass protect, lazy in that aspect. He's just lazy in the passing game all the way around. So, you know, hopefully somebody's pulling, sending him back and like, okay, this is what we're going to do with you and accept your role, and this is it. You know, thinking he's going to go to the Jets and play with a stud quarterback, and you think he's going to play in Denver or something? You know what I'm saying? Like he thought he was in Tennessee. He feels like he should have 2,000 yards all the time, and it just doesn't work that way. I don't think it's a terrible signing for the Jets. If, you know, Rex Ryan has a way of getting across to some players, you know, endearing himself, and they come out and play with him. But we'll just have to see. But, you know, you have a breakaway guy in Johnson. You have a pounder in Ivory. Let's see how it works out.
Okay. Let me ask you guys a question while we're talking about running backs. Baltimore, Ray Rice. Guy's kind of slowing down. Is this the point where the Ravens might go out and try to get a running back to be his replacement or maybe a supplemental running back?
Could be both. Wouldn't surprise me, I guess, too, with, you know, the issue we had, you know, the domestic thing, of course, that's not good, you know, in that organization because, you know, it's probably people asking, like, you know, hey, that story, of course, is not going to go away. So, you know, you're going to hear about it when the season starts and all that type of stuff. Possibly, too, in the draft, the Ravens is on the clock where, you know, they might say something about it. Of course, they're going to bring it up. So, you know, I mean, he didn't have a good year this past year either. So, I guess, too, you know, if you do draft someone, you know, we all know that it's all about competition. And we all know, too, the sheer life of a running back.
It's funny, I'm looking at this, they had a chart here on ESPN I'm looking at, and it's going age versus production, matching up wide receivers and running backs. I don't know if you guys got to check it out, but it looks like the wide receivers actually kind of hit a peak and a plateau right around age 27 through 31, where the running backs have a steep decline through those periods. I mean, I know it's a lot of wear and tear through that, but it's just, you know, it's interesting to see it here, put here on a chart. Like I say, you know, Rice, I think he's about that age, 27, 28. What do you think about it, Tex? I mean, you think this is the point where it's kind of, you know, kind of start getting a new dude in place and getting ready to move on?
Who are we talking about?
Ray Rice.
Ray Rice is a rebound candidate. They got Kubiak down in there. They have to, you know, they have to retool the offensive line, or they have to, you know, they have to bulk that O line up, get them going again. But you have Kubiak. I think Kubiak is good for Flacco, and I think Kubiak is good for Ray Rice to resurrect his career. You know, your zone blocking, let Rice get downhill. You know, he can make plays, he can make some things happen. So I'm looking for a rebound year for Ray Rice if he can get over all this trouble that he's in right now. Right.
What do you think, Bobo?
Yeah, I think I agree with Tex. You know, hopefully I think this will be a rebound year for him, you know, if he can get through this drama that he's going through right now. You know, I wish him the best. Wish him the best. That's all I have to say. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
hey, Mike.
Yeah, he's gone. Hold up. He's coming right back, though. What's your take on this, Shottown?
We see him still saying with the Ray Rice thing, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to knock off for a second there. What are you guys saying?
Yeah, we're talking about Ray Rice. I said I agree with Tex, you know, it should be a bounce back year if he gets everything settled with his whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like I said, he's a solid back, you know, he's had, you know, this offseason hasn't been his best. He got involved in hair added hygiene, which is kind of a thing to get involved in.
Hair-added hijinks. I'm going to use that.
I'm going to broach this subject because I want you guys to really start noticing about these hair hats. But like I said, he got involved in hair-added hijinks. Then he married the hair hat, which is what it is. I don't know. He's a small man. He's in the NFL. I guess I'm scared to even talk to one of them type of chicks, but he's married one that he already had a fight with. It was on video. And he had to knock her unconscious in order for her to stop. But, you know, and it is what it is. I mean, that's kind of the way you guys are going. Let me go ahead and
bro. This wasn't this, you know, of course he had a bad year. We all know Joe Flacco had a bad year. It just didn't, you know, the line too, you know, Michael Orr, I see, is not there no more. I mean, they just didn't play well, you know, this past year. And it, you know, of course, we all know it starts with the quarterback. You know, Flacco didn't, you know, he didn't have his best year. So it was just, you know, hopefully, you know, like you said, you know, Kubiak being there and some of the changes might have been good. You know, we'll see how things go this year. But, of course, the whole focus is going to be on Ray Rice because we're having his off-the-field life.
I want to ask you guys, I mean, with all these problems that these guys are going with these girls, I don't remember what exactly we talked about, but I we kind of started talking about your boy Jordan and his wife, you know, she was from the Chicago and from the hood. I mean, does that need to be part of the rookie symposium now in all sports to tell people to not talk to certain type of women and by a certain time? I mean, seriously, because, I mean, it's starting to become a liability. And I don't just mean air hats, because I mean, look at Jameis Winston's situation. You know, that was, you know, she was ratchet, but she wasn't a hairhead. You know, she was a white girl. But you know, what can be done?
You gotta understand most of these guys grew up without a father in their lives. So, you know, Tommy and Jason Black, they kind of break it down pretty well. They grew up without a father in their lives, or no relationship with their father, you know, you marry these women that are very similar to your mama, probably, you know, or that act very similar to your mama, you know, and a lot of them are a bunch of hair-hat hooligans, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure Ray Rice was, like, married a light-skinned hair-hat hooligan, and you know, it is what it is. I mean, Jameis Winston is a different situation. Jameis Winston.
Also, that's a baby mom as well.
Yeah, his baby mama's a hair-hat. The hooligan. But what I'm saying is, and Jameis Winston, he had his parents in his household. He grew up with a father, and he was just trying to go down there and have some fun. And when he probably went to Florida State, he looked at all those women. He's like, man, I'm going to have my fun, you know, and making these bad decisions caught up with them. You know, it is what it is. But the difference is Jameis Winston's not going to wife these women. Somebody like a Ray Rice or somebody that didn't have a father in the household is probably going to wife these women. That's the difference right there. That's the difference.
What I want to say. First, you know, like I said, I'm Jameis Winston, and I'm doing that at Florida State. I'm going to go get me a chick like that Jen Stabler chick, you know. The chick that, you know, she went there and she was the one that was involved with that Brett Favre fiasco. Somebody who actually looks like somebody that people would go, wow. You know, I'm not going to go get me Susie from around the block, you know.
That was his side girl. His main one was a Jen Sterner type of female. His main female was a Jen Sterner.
Well, that's, I mean, but I'm saying,
his main female looked better than Jen Sterner.
But if I'm a starting quarterback, that was as you. Well, he wasn't someone that is. He wasn't a backup back. So, I mean, I guess it wasn't what it was.
Most of these groupies are bad looking women. Most of the loose groupies are bad looking women.
This is the thing that bothers me about these hair-hat hooligans. How is it that these men are fighting these terrorists and getting them pregnant and marrying them, but you got women like Sanaa Lathan and Tyra Banks and Terese Henson that are single as hell? How does that happen?
And Nia Long is single too.
Can anybody explain that to me?
It just depends. I mean, these women, I mean, the Nia Longs, the whatever her name is, whatever the girl's name is.
Taraji Henson.
Sanaa Lathan. I mean, these are women that, I mean, I don't want to. It's kind of like, did you see Django? And you saw Django and the woman that, when Django was talking to the bed wench, and the bed wench just, like, you know, ignored her. You know what I mean? I mean, these women are pretty much bed wenches, man. That's what they are. I mean, that's what they are. They're Olivia Pope. What they are. I mean, when you talk about Nia Long, Henson, I mean, if they could be Olivia Pope, that's what they would be. So are they going to respect these brothers, you know, that are on the same level as them? They're not going to respect it. They're not going to respect them. So they're the brothers, they ain't going to want to deal with them. So then the brothers would rather deal with the hair hat.
I mean, the hair hat doesn't respect them, and she's going to try to ruin his life.
Exactly. So it's a lose-lose situation for the brother. Because nobody respects him.
I'd rather go at least a chick who I know has a little bit of cheddar, so she's not going to ruin my life, you know?
Right, but it depends how she was raised. If she was raised with a father in the household and she respects her father, then you're good. But if she was raised with a father in the household and doesn't respect her father, then you're probably going to have some issues.
Yeah, I'm going after Sanaa Lathan. You know, she was raised, you know, her dad is Stan Lathan. You know, her dad got for bread, you know? It's like, I forgot,
she's single too, yep.
Yeah, she must, like I say, I hate to say it, she must be crazy. because there's no way that she should still be single being that fine. And, you know, she's entering into, you know, 42, 43 years old. But,
because
you know, I don't
you
know,
have to understand that. Well, you understand that the black men are the most unemployed in the country, so, and the least wealthy in the country. So for her, the likelihood of her finding a man with that type of wealth as her father did is very slim. You know, it's very slim.
I understand that, and I kind of was on talking with some people about that earlier today. But it's like, if you are a black woman like that, I mean,
and you know, we've all seen it happen a lot of times. Doesn't it kind of seem like you're putting a price tag on your happiness, though?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you got to understand, man. Tommy breaks it down, man. They don't want to be. they wear these weaves, they wear these perms, they wear these hair hats, and they don't wear it for brothers. So you got to understand that first and foremost. So you got to understand that first and foremost. If you look at the girl, what's the girl from Drumline, that girl, I forgot her name. She played in, she was going to play Nia Long, too.
Oh, Zoe Saldana. Yeah, she's not. She,
yeah,
I,
you,
yeah,
you
I,
see her boyfriend.
I got that feeling from her instantly that she is not for us. I knew that automatically.
Yeah, but when you look at her boyfriend, I mean, they would rather be a bitch. I mean, Olivia, like, they would rather be an Olivia Pope, who would rather have be someone's bed wench than to be someone's king. That's what it boils down to.
The thing is, she makes me mad because she's not even Olivia Pope. At least Olivia Pope's trying to mess around with the president. She goes, Zoe Saldana be getting these Gomer-looking dudes. You know, it's like...
Exactly. That's exactly.
You know, like, where did that dude come from? You know, it's like, that dude? You know, it's like... You know, like, I hate to say it, you know, because I'm not a big fan of judging dudes, but it's like, those are some ugly dudes. You know, it's like, that dude is a weirdo. Get that dude out of here. You know, he's like, he's surprised at the dudes that she be with, like, actual girls. It's like, he's straight. You know, it's like, get him out of here.
But see, that's the only thing. When you do that, I don't know, I'm on air. But when you date cross lines, you know, you're only allowed to date, you know, the worst of the worst. I mean, if you look at Lovie Smith's wife, you look at what's the guy from Texas A&M? The coach from Texas A&M, Kevin Sumlin. If you look at his wife, I mean, if you look at everybody's wife or everybody's husband that went across the line, you know. They're not that attractive. This is what it's like.
I don't know.
Look at every single one.
I heard Charlie Strong's wife is a bad one.
No. And if they look good, they have to be somewhat of a Kim Kardashian full mold. And you know what Kim Kardashian is known for. That's all we got to say.
What about Heidi Klum, though?
Yeah.
Aren't they
divorced?
Like I say, you got her, you got Taye Diggs' wife. She's fine as hell, and she's
no,
normal.
She's not. What are you talking about? You think she is?
The Mexican Idina Menzel?
Oh yeah, but Taye Diggs is not married to that chick no more. They're getting divorced.
Well, I mean, not anymore, but they were married for 10 or 15
years.
Or
yeah.
You know, I mean, like I say, it's something out there. I think you just had to find a normal chick, but I'm tired of these dudes getting in these situations like this. You know, and it's kind of off the subject of football, but I know we've all seen the trailer for this this Kiko. What is it? Nico and Mimi.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the most outrageous thing that's in the world? And our women are the ones that are perpetrating this and promoting this and supporting it. And these are the pool of people that you have to choose from. It's like, really?
And hey, this is a, well, I told you the blueprint.
This is a 45-year-old woman, too. This ain't no 20-year-old.
Who has a teenage daughter, right? She has a teenage daughter, right?
A teenage daughter. I mean, Evelyn is 40 with a teenage daughter.
Yep.
Yeah, Evelyn's like around 39, 40.
I mean, yeah, her daughter might be in her 20s now.
Yeah, yep. She got a daughter that's in college.
Yeah, and she's fine as hell, you know, and it's like, who, you know, I just don't get it. It's like, I don't know, man, it bothers me, you know, because we're kind of the only ones that are doing this to ourselves, and we see the same situation in the news over and over again of something amazing happening, you know?
Well, let me see. Tex, you got an opinion on this?
I don't, man. These guys, they won't learn, but whatever, it's their lives. It's not mine. It's not anybody on, not anybody that's on this show right now live. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't learn, you know. It's like my mom, dad used to say, hard head gets off behind. So.
Yeah.
Having a mushy butt.
Yeah. Hey, it's funny you mentioned about Kim Kardashian. I know this like it's a while ago, but they were talking about that it's an option for Kim Kardashian for a date for Kim Kardashian where I guess some guys willing to pay, I guess, overseas or some of the country, you know, pay, I think 100 grand for her to go on a date with her or something like that to go out there, you know. I'm like, wow. Kanye really messed up.
This is the thing I tell people about Kim Kardashian, you know, and people don't like it. I pulled an article you put up on you sent me on Facebook, Pavel. This chick has at least turned this into being a media mogul. You know, you got these housewives chicks still be going broke. You know, it's like
yep.
To clarify things, you know, the situation with that Mimi chick. That's not a sex tape. The sex tape is when you and your girl and somebody put their phone on the table or put their camera on the table and you taping it. That was something staged with lighting and a cameraman. You know, that was a porno. They made a porn tape. You know, that was not a sex tape. There's a difference. You got her flipping up off of, you know, now you got everybody putting these stupid memes on Facebook with the shower curtain and the shower rod and everything. You know, it's like, really? And you're 4'5" and you do all that? You need to be in the Olympics. You know, that's the best you can do? You know, I don't know. It's, you know, like I said, it's serious, man. It's just nauseating to me to see that every day, you know, to know that that's what, you know, we keep putting out in the world about ourselves, and, you know. And, you know, like
yep.
You said, you know, these dudes, they don't, that's what bothers me is that the dudes don't learn their lessons. You know, they keep going after the same one. Like,
and Paul,
you know,
George got a stripper pregnant? I remember that. I was like, are you?
Yeah.
Man.
He
got a stripper pregnant. That was stupid, man.
That's Paul George, superstar NBA player, getting a stripper. I would laugh at one of us if one of us got a stripper pregnant. We're regular dudes. You know, I'd be like, you know, seriously, if one of y'all told me you got a stripper pregnant, I'd be like, man, you're a buster. You know, but this is a billion, this is a millionaire dude, you know, getting a stripper. It's like, really, bro? Really? You know, like, come on. I just, you know, I don't know.
I'm just saying, man, they don't grow up with their daddies in it. Well, Dwight Howard grew up with his father in his household, so it was kind of shocked me. How he has all these kids. That really shocked me because his father was in his life. And
Dwight Howard,
I just don't understand how he has all these kids.
But remember, too, he was into...
Dwight Howard has mental problems, man. It's something, you could look at him and see that it's something not all there with that dude in his head. You know?
But remember when he hit the scene, remember how religious he was, where they say he wanted to change and put more as a Christian into the NBA and stuff like that? Remember that documentary probably before he came to the league? Everybody's saying, man, that ain't going to fly up all that stuff. And you see how now he's having all them kids.
Well, like I tell people, folks, remember when Beyonce used to be a church girl? Remember she was a nice little cute church girl. And all the fact she's on people's surfboards and stripping on stage.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's, you know, like I say, it's a damn shame to me because – it's just, you know, like I said, it's just sad to see that's what we're putting out there, you know, for the world to see. And, you know, no matter what people say, that it's only TV or whatever, that's what people pay attention to it nowadays is the media and TV. You know, these folks, you know, that's how opinions are made. And that's how, you know, that's what history is going to recognize, you know. And generations look back, they're going to see TV shows of, you know, have been running across the table trying to snatch somebody's wig off or stealing somebody's purse or, you know, doing something amazing. So,
to me, it's just sad that you know, that's what we keep putting out there. And, you know, like I say, hopefully it stops. You know, you got this Jameis situation. You know, seriously, I mean, you got this situation with Jameis, and it's like, you know, hopefully this dude learns. You know, like I said, if I was him, I would beg that girl from Rice, whatever, wherever she's at, to come back. It's like, look, I'm with you. You know, I learned my lesson. We're together, you know, forever.
I don't know if she's going to take her back, man. I would. I mean, if I were her father, I wouldn't tell her, don't take that dude back. But, you know, it is what it is. I think sometimes I'm just looking at that girl's picture. I just have this feeling that she ain't going to take that dude back, man. I just have this feeling, man.
Who are you talking about?
The his girlfriend that's at Rice or whatnot. So I just have this feeling he ain't taking that girl back, man. He ain't taking her back. You know,
you're talking about these females
that like is ultra classy that she ain't going to deal with that mess. So I don't know.
What female are you talking about? Which female are you talking about? Are you talking about
Jameis Winston's girl?
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I mean,
if she doesn't take him back,
that'd be definitely a blow to him. I mean, she was bad.
She was there before the money, so he could get another bad chick. But it's like, you know, he's going to be like, he only with me because I'm Jameis Winston. Well, I mean, but see, she's with him, because she was with him before he even had his money. So, you know, that's going to even be a double blow right there. So, you know,
she's from Alabama.
It is what it is. Yeah. So.
That might be the best thing. That's one of the best things I've ever made out of that state, man.
Please. That's where you need to get your girl from, man. You need to get a girl from Alabama, man. Well, I don't know, man. They're probably better than Cali girls, but, you know, you're still going to have that hair hat element to it, man, that hooligan element to it.
I'm kind of resigned to what I'm going to have to do. Like I said, either I'm going to have to come out to this house. Like I said, I'm not going to protect this thing too, but like I said, either I'm going to have to come out to this house and do something, but these chicks out here, like I said, it's too many. Like I said, they look good, and they're not all even hair hats, but, you know, there's too many mental issues out here. But, yeah, I'm looking at her name is Breon Allen. I'm looking at her right now. She's a nice-looking young lady. I don't know what Jameis is doing. I'm looking at this other gal here, whatever her name is. Looking like playing. The girl in the picture with his accuser actually looks better for her than me. You know, the one that's standing next to her and then the FSC outfit, the one that's wearing the Cowboys suit actually looks better. But yeah, she's not that. Erica came in, you know, she's not that cute. But, you know, and here she is standing in front of a Christmas tree with beer cans on it. So, yeah, that's what you guys choose. But anyway, you guys have anything else to wrap things up?
Nah, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward for the draft, and hopefully Giants do something good in the draft, and hopefully, you know, Johnny Manziel come to Tampa, and, you know, it'll be great.
I was going to say, I know, yeah, since you talked about the Johnny Clause, I was going to say, since Tex is on now, hey, Tex, I mean, Mike had said he heard that Eli Manning might not be back. You hear anything different?
I think Tex jumped off. But just, you know, just save it. We'll bring it up next week. We'll get him back on.
Of course, that'll be a story, of course.
Yeah. We'll get back on with you guys again next week. Thank you for a good show. Peace. You guys have a good one. I'm out.
All right, man.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.